I'm talking about this one. I do mean this one right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, listen, we're going to move into the first dipper here momentarily. I've got just a few more text messages that I'll try to stay caught up on. Bruce from Springville says, those transgender pedophiles and others that want to hurt children will definitely see a lake, all right, the lake of fire. There you go. Thank you, Bruce. Jerry from Decatur says, airborne on your monologue. Your audience should Google Meteor City, Arizona. Everything around that mile-wide hole was subjected to intense heat. Okay, fair enough. Chuck from Oneida, Tennessee says, the problem is people don't know what a Christian is or is supposed to be. They think it's cool to claim the title without actually experiencing the actual transformation which comes with the blood of Jesus. Well, there's two parts to the whole thing, man. It's a relationship, first of all. There's two parts to being a Christian, really. It's making him Savior and also making him Lord. Making him Savior is the immediate part. It's the most necessary part. It's where it all begins. But then making him Lord of your life is really the transformative place for the day-to-day life still here on this earth. So anyway, it's not that your works based whatsoever. It's a relationship. There's forgiveness. But nonetheless, making him Lord of your life is where really cool stuff happens while you're still walking this earth. Colin from Decatur says, spoiler alert, the section on child sacrifice in your opening monologue reminded me of a scene in the movie Nefarious, in which the demon says that abortion is child sacrifice, just renamed in order to facilitate it. Okay, wow. That's wow. All right, let's jump into this first dipper. Let's change the subject here for a minute. I'm going to jump on some stuff. So storm tracker is what I'm calling it. But listen, let's talk about more than just the storm. I will say this, first of all, praise God. It appears that while there has been massive damage, and while we have at least 9 or 10, it depends on which news outlet you're looking at. CNN's reporting 9. I thought I saw 10 on Fox. But right now, let's say there's at least 9 known deaths, some of which were from tornadoes that were spawned by the hurricane system. But all said and done, Hurricane Milton, even by what Governor Ron DeSantis said this morning, he said that, in his own words, he said, it was not the worst-case scenario that it could have been, but it was still catastrophic. There is still a massive amount of damage. Now, what we're looking at, though, is, I mean, let's don't minimize it. I'm not trying to do that. What we're looking at, though, is a state, the state of Florida, that, in my opinion, probably did more than I have ever seen done to prepare for and ready itself for a natural disaster. I mean, I don't know what else you could have asked for. In fact, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I'm going to get it right out there. I put it on my social media this morning. I listened to Ron DeSantis. I was driving to a meeting in another county, and I was listening to Ron DeSantis do his morning press briefing the day after the event, right? That man had a grasp of topics. He was literally quoting statistics. I mean, you can tell that his folks had stayed up all night long tracking details and getting everything into some form of battle rhythm where they could report, like in real time, what was happening. He had the number of people out of power. He had the number of communities that had no roads. He had the number of deaths that had been, he had the number of rescue attempts that had been made. He had the number of active helicopters still in the air. Literally, he went down the line, chapter and verse, and I thought, my gosh, that's what's supposed to happen. I mean, there's things that will happen that you can't see. Like, you don't know when an earthquake's going to occur, right? But when you can see it coming, state of Florida showed you exactly how to handle it. I mean, they could, at this point, they should run the class. They should be the guest speaker at whatever FEMA conference comes up. Because what just happened in Florida has to be one of the most epic and above board and beyond reproach levels of coordination that I have ever seen, and the left is trying to tear it down. Why? He didn't talk to Kamala. Kamala called him on the phone, and he won't talk to Kamala, and that's just wrong. That's political. And the point being that Ron DeSantis made it very clear, why would Kamala call me? She's the vice president. I've been talking to her boss, the president. Even Joe Biden himself, probably much to Kamala Harris's consternation, said, yeah, I've talked to Ron. He's doing a great job down there. Go get him, kid. You know, it's almost been kind of funny to watch. But Ron DeSantis, here's the thing. I watched that, or I listened to it actually, and then I saw a video clip of parts of it, that press conference, and some of the ones leading up to it. And here's what I'm going to say. He's not our presidential candidate. He's not. He's not the guy who made it to the primary. You know what, though? Ron DeSantis needs to be our next Secretary of Homeland Security. Think about it. Who do you, right now, if you looked around the nation, it's going to be an American, so if you look around the nation, who do you see out there that you would rather have taking care of you in the aftermath of an emergency right now than what we just saw in Florida? Who else would you rather have out there, by the way, who exerts that level of leadership and authority that you would rather have, I don't know, be DHS secretary, which means he's also in charge of Secret Service, which just allowed, you know, two near-death experiences on the president. Who else would you rather have in charge of Customs and Border Patrol? That's the DHS secretary. I'm just saying. You've got HHS in there. You've got, I mean, all the rest of them. You got places like HHS that is filled up with transgender wokeness. You've got Customs and Border Patrol, which is not being allowed to do its job to stem the tide of immigration. You've got FEMA. You've got all this stuff falls under DHS. I look at it and go, my God, if there's anybody in this nation right now I can think of that I want to be sitting in that seat, making those decisions, running that war room in an emergency, I want it right now. I'm just going to go and say it. I want Ron DeSantis to be the next DHS secretary. Quote me. At 2:41 p.m. on October the 10th, 2024, I said it. And I actually put it on my social media this morning. You can find it on @SinPhilWilliams, my Twitter feed, my X feed. In fact, you have an audio clip. Yeah, that one I just sent you the most recently. I'm going to call it audio. Let's go call it audio 4 because it's the fourth one I sent you for the day. But audio 4 is an audio clip. How long is that thing, by the way?
42 seconds.
It's 42 seconds. All right, let's listen to Ron DeSantis talking about how to handle the crisis. Go ahead.
My job is to manage this process and lead the state through this. I am using every lever at my disposal, including federal government resources. I've marshaled all the agencies in the state government, and we're working like never before to supplement our local communities. I've got to get the job done, and that's what I'm focused on. Now, people have asked me about, you know, is FEMA going to do this? Just let me be clear, in Florida, we run the show. FEMA's not running the show. We will utilize them to support some of the things we're doing, but you are not going to see FEMA running amok in Florida. I know that's been out there on the internet. That is not going to happen. I'm the sheriff that's in charge here, and we will make sure to protect you. Don't worry about it.
Okay, so first of all, some folks may hear that and go, well, that's rather prideful and ostentatious. Who does he think he is? He thinks he's the governor of freaking Florida. How about that? I think he's walking in his authority. I think the man has just finished saying, I don't have time for your... I mean, listen, in a time of peace and calm and order, you can be more genteel. You can have a little bit more of a roundabout way of saying things. You can avoid people's feelings. But when you're in a crisis situation and bullets are flying, what do you do? You take charge and you get the job done. You take the high ground. And that's what he's doing. You about to say something?
And, you know, I feel bad for North Carolina because they're not a state that is prepped for hurricane relief. And so they kind of have to rely on FEMA. But, you know, if you're Ron DeSantis, you have the resources. And I'm most impressed that he boldly came out and said it publicly like that, that we're... You know, we're going to protect our state. We're going to provide for our people, and we're not going to rely on any federal incompetence. So I agree with you. He would be a great Homeland Security guy. But what are the odds that Trump puts him anywhere in the cabinet? Do we think that's likely or not?
I think there's a possibility. Mm-hmm. I think that they have. At the very least, they have publicly made amends.
What are the odds too that he leaves the governor to do that?
That's the thing. Is right now. He's got a great gig going. He doesn't have to go out there and run all the gates he has to run through in D.C., and I know that. And then, and let's be honest, Trump has a tendency to burn people after a while. If you're not you know, right where he wants you to be on everything, then you run the risk of, you know, losing some time and ground in your political career. And look, the bottom line is this. I just know watching that, and watching the way Florida just handled itself. Listen to this. Here's some stats. You ready for this? He read some of these out during his press briefing. Literally, getting things pre-positioned. I mean, this was not just a, let's handle it after the fact. No, this was 1,200 search and rescue people deployed to Florida. 1,000 were already in the state from previous deployments. 6,000 members of the Florida National Guard were mobilized, joining 3,000 National Guard members that were contributed by other states. That's 9,000 National Guardsmen all over the state. The largest Florida National Guard search and rescue mobilization in the entire history of the state, DeSantis said. Also, the largest staging of utility workers and linemen in advance of the storm at any time in American history. That's like 20,000 linemen that were on. They're ready. They're putting power back on right now. They still have 3 million people out of power, but they had 20,000 linemen ready to go to work the next morning. 500 out-of-state law enforcement officers joined the in-state law enforcement. And I look at this and go, that's called putting things together and getting it ready. And that's just cool. Now, meanwhile, our current Department of Homeland Security Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, who I don't think could be the secretary for a small LLC in a little town, he actually was on camera today. I didn't get to see it. I only got to hear of it. Spent the vast majority of his time not talking about the relief effort, not talking about lives and things that his job is required to do. He spent most of his time whining about misinformation. Like he spent majority of his time just opining about the fact that people are saying mean things. It's not true. And it's not helpful. And we don't need this right now. And this, you look at it and go, look, dude, you know what? Swallow your pride. Quit feeling all butthurt because somebody said something mean about your people or you don't think that they're appreciative enough or whatever else. And go do your job anyway. Just go do your job.
Yeah, that I was going to say that may be a cue. If typically when they focus so much on calling something misinformation, that may be a cue that it's not so much misinformation. Because if it was, then you just let it be. You know, there's no need to debunk it. But if they're actively trying to make it a point that it's misinformation, that may be a little cue there.
Yeah.
That it's not so much misinformation.
And it's apparently, by the way, it's apparently the talking point of the administration right now. Tell you what, we'll take a break. When we get back from this break, I'll tell you. So misinformation is the word of the day right now. Clear indication, like the JP said, that there's a concern that we're striking a nerve. And this, they got, well, stop it. It's misinformation. Stop it. Stop it right now. Well, I got news. It's not all misinformation. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. So I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, just talking about some of the issues in and around and surrounding the hurricanes, the storm tracker, the Hurricane Milton. And by the way, I will make a quick announcement. We do have some issues going on with our phones here. We know a couple of y'all have tried to call in. For some reason, we were getting feedback on our phone line, so we're going to see if we can't reboot the phones here during the next break, but just be aware if you want to text in, that's still coming through just fine. That's 833-687-4448. But misinformation, that's the word of the day. Apparently everything that they don't like to hear is misinformation. Well, you need to stop that misinformation. Why is it misinformation? Well, because we don't agree. That's not misinformation. That's called we don't agree. Now, if the people on the ground say that FEMA's doing a great job, great. If the people on the ground say they haven't seen FEMA in their neighborhood at all, they're allowed to say, I don't think FEMA's been in my neighborhood at all. I don't think FEMA's getting to our people. So if, listen, they can say just the same thing about the Red Cross. They can say the same thing about Samaritan's Purse. They can say the same thing about anybody. But the fact that it's the government, it's the overly sensitive, hypersensitive Biden administration and the Harris campaign, they are all over this as misinformation. So that's exactly what you're hearing from Mayorkas. And the talking point comes from the very top. So yesterday, Joe Biden actually gave one of his Angry Joe moments at the microphone. He went and did a press conference. And in his strongest terms yet, says Politico. Phil, did you go to Politico? I did. In his strongest terms yet, said Joe Biden on Wednesday, he condemned what he called a, quote, reckless, irresponsible, relentless promotion of disinformation and outright lies. That's a lot of Scrabble words in one sentence. About the federal response to Hurricane Helene and now Milton. He named names, saying former President Donald Trump has led the onslaught of lies, spreading false information about FEMA. He said it's beyond ridiculous. It's got to stop. In moments like this, there's no red or blue states. There's one United States of America where neighbors are helping neighbors. That's great. Listen, somebody please inform the president that it was his own Secretary of Department of Homeland Security who said that they were out of money. It was his own DHS that put out that their number one priority was not getting everybody help, that it was getting equitable relief out and making sure that certain underserved demographics got first choice. FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell, she's also been under fire a lot. She says, I do believe the volume of misinformation is starting to go down, but we need to continue to now remain focused on what our mission is. Well, that's the point. Stop worrying about whether you got a lot of likes on social media. Go get the job done. That's all we want. We pay tax dollars not so you could fuss because someone didn't agree with you publicly. We pay the tax dollars so that you'll go get your job done, knowing full well that from time immemorial, people will gripe. And some of it, oh, by the way, may be well-founded. So I'm just saying, stop with the misinformation, just ridiculousness, and just go get busy. Go get busy and prove them all wrong. Because right now, the greatest win for you, government, the greatest win for you, Mayorkas, the greatest win for you, FEMA, is to do your job in spectacular fashion. Rescue people, bring relief dollars, fix stuff, open roads, restore electricity, and people will go, thank you. Don't get those things done. Be slow to respond. Don't deploy the military for 5 or 6, 7 days and be weeks down the road talking about how mad you are because people are just not grateful enough. And guess what? People are going to complain some more. There's also a thing, by the way, I did find this fascinating somewhere in the mix of it. Have you heard of the Waffle House Index?
I have not.
The Waffle House Index. So I'm finding out more and more that there are some businesses that are almost ubiquitous, like they're everywhere. Like there ought to be a Dollar General index too, by the way, because they're everywhere. But like out in California, especially nationally speaking, U-Haul Trailers has what they call their U-Haul Movement Index. They can see how many states have had more outgoing trailers than incoming trailers. California had the biggest number of outgoing one-way U-Hauls, and so that and it directly corresponds with their loss of population. You could see it's people moving out. Well, Waffle House is the same way in a national emergency because Waffle Houses are typically 24/7, right? 24/7, you can go there and get them scattered and smothered any time of the day or night. And so Waffle House started posting a map back in 2011. And every time there's a hurricane, they post the Waffle House Index and it has on the map in red, yellow, and green where the Waffle Houses are. And you can see a swath of red across the overly damaged areas. And the red is usually a spot-on match to the major relief areas. Wow. So anyway, I thought it was fascinating. All said and done, hurricane, praise God for Florida having their act more together than anybody I've ever seen. Ron DeSantis, DHS Secretary, what say you? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, we will be right back. Well, the count has climbed. I will say this, 12 people dead, it's known right now, apparently, being reported by CNN, 3 million without power. As Hurricane Milton has spun out into the Atlantic now, and it crossed, I mean, literally in one night, it crossed over the entire Florida Peninsula and out into the Atlantic, and has already, not already, has maintained hurricane strength. It's still a Cat 1 hurricane, even after crossing over land. So that was a no-fooling big one. They're saying, by the way, this was a not a 100-year storm. This was a 500-year storm. I saw that in one of my resources here. Let me find that real quick. No, I'm sorry, one in a 100-year. It was not a 50-year storm, which is what some of the other ones they call it. They were saying it was a one in a 100-year event. The level of carnage they were expecting, though, I mean, they were really concerned that it was going to hit smack into major metropolitan areas with storm surge. There were a number of things that happened that I won't say were mystifying. I mean, you know how you see like Tampa Bay literally got sucked out. And what that also meant, though, was a storm surge didn't come back in as hard. Sometimes when it gets sucked out like that, that means there's a tidal wave or something like that, or tsunami type thing coming, the tidal surge following it. But it didn't follow to the extent they were afraid that it would, probably because it sucked out so fast that it had to refill first, and that meant that it didn't surge over the barriers into the shoreline. And then you've got, on top of that, you've got the fact that the state of Florida was so well prepared. There's a story right now that just came out on Fox. It's one of those human interest stories that I just think is worth telling. So Hurricane Helene, let's not forget the people of the Carolinas, parts of Georgia, even parts of Florida, and are still recovering in a big way, especially North Carolina and even East Tennessee. But there's a story that came from, where's she from? She's from Georgia, I know that. She's a little town called Nashville, Georgia. A lady named Cindy Cole, she's a 62-year-old grandmother. She was laying in her bed during the night when Hurricane Helene was crossing over. And as the story goes, and I'll paraphrase it for you, she says she was sound asleep in her bed when she heard a voice tell her, "You need to get up and go to another room in the house." She's by herself. So she woke up, and then the power went out. And she knew the power had gone out because you can hear systems shutting down in the house. And she heard the voice again, "Get up, go to another room in the house." She heard it three times, and she finally realized, I guess I better get up and go to another room in the house. So she did. She got up and immediately vacated. And within minutes of her getting out of her bed and getting out of that room, a major tree fell through and crushed the entire bedroom that she'd been sleeping in. I'm looking at pictures of it right now. And she says that she got up, she exited the room. Within minutes, a large tree from her neighbor's yard crashed into the bedroom and landed right on her bed. The bedroom is destroyed. It's gone. The interesting piece is, and I'm looking at pictures of this too, she has a Bible that she keeps on an easel on top of her dresser, and it's opened. Like the Bible is open on an easel to a passage that she's either reading or she just likes anyway, but it's sitting there open. And everything in the room is destroyed, but that Bible is still sitting on the easel, unmoved. She just says, "I think it was the Lord telling me to move to another room." You think? I'm pretty sure it's exactly what happened. But she says that... with regards to the Bible, since I first saw the Bible, I was like, "Oh, look, I can't believe it's still standing." And then she said, "But you can't touch the word of the Lord. You just cannot touch it." Anyway, cool stories. I can't tell you how many things I remember coming out of like the 2011 tornadoes where people would find things. And JP, long before you were born, you know, we had the massive tornado on Airport Road in Huntsville.
Yeah.
And that would have been... That was the late 80s, I think, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And I've heard many stories about that from my dad, who the tornado actually took out his office on Airport Road.
Oh, that's right.
Airport Road.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. So although it was much before I was alive, I've heard much about it.
There's there were cars like you know, up there where our family all lived, up there on Tannehill and all that area. And there were cars up in the hill that came from Airport Road. I mean, it literally, and I know some of y'all, there were stories about people who had, you know, near-death experiences, or they would duck down in their car, and when they sat back up, everything was gone. Julie Ruff from Marshall County says it was 1989. Yes, I believe that is correct. You are correct. Marie from Madison says prayer is powerful, and I know many people, including me, who are interceding for the wonderful folks in Florida. Yes, indeed, and that's... Listen, I believe that, man. Look, I've been some places, seen some things, and there's stuff I couldn't explain. And there were times when people told me later on they were praying, and I just know that the timing was perfect. And listen, God intervenes in a big way. God also honors stewardship. And I'm sure that there were things that maybe DeSantis and his team wish they could have done differently. But for the most part, what we saw, I think, was good stewardship. I think we saw leadership and stewardship. We saw we saw leaders who are willing to take the risk, do the things, ruffle the feathers, say the words that needed to be said, lead, guide, and direct, and then, oh, by the way, at the same time, make use of their available assets, which is stewardship, in a manner that is befitting for the moment. And that's we'll never know, thank goodness, we'll never know what could have happened had they not been prepared. And it was a lesson. Let us take it to heart. David from Hoax Bluff says, turnip greens are ready if you want some. You know I don't. All right, you guys, listen. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.